Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this ninth day of May, 2023. I'm thrilled to have back on the program after a long absence a very dear friend of mine, Pastor Anthony Uvinio. Pastor Anthony Uvinio is one of three pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, which would include Pastor Rich Jensen, the founding pastor of that congregation, and also Pastor Christopher McDowell. And Anthony is also the co-founder of New York Apologetics. And we are not only going to be addressing a conference coming up that New York Apologetics is hosting in Hop Hog, Long Island, but we are also talking today about the theme of that conference, the resurrection, fact, fake, or futile. And it is my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, my old friend Anthony Uvinio.
Thanks for having me, Chris. I really appreciate it. Look forward to a good show.
And I'm going to give our listeners our email address right away if you'd like to submit questions on the resurrection of Christ. The email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are in a liberal church. They deny the bodily resurrection of Christ, and you are not ready to publicly identify yourself as being in opposition to them or something like that. Whatever the case may be that would compel you to remain anonymous, we will grant your request. But please, if it's just a general question on the Bible, on theology, on doctrine, please give us your first name, at least your city and state and country of residence. Well, first of all, tell us about Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York.
Yeah, we go every Sunday at 9:45 starts our Sunday school. 11 o'clock starts our service. We also have Bible study and prayer Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. So we're going through Proverbs with the men's breakfast on Saturday mornings. That's once a month. And Pastor Jensen is going through the book of Daniel on Sunday mornings. And it's really proven to be a terrific, terrific series. Pastor does a great job. I put all the videos up on, if you want to watch them, on the Reform Rookie YouTube channel. So especially considering the times that we're in now, Chris, you know, I mean, we're coming under fire as Christians, and our country looks like it's going to implode, and we may end up being deported somewhere. Who knows? So this is it might be a blessing. I mean, it was a blessing for Daniel. I mean, he, you know, him, Shadrach, and Abednego got deported and ended up rising to the top, you know.
My own elders at Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle are doing all they can to get me deported, so I just thought I'd
there's always room for you down here, pal. We got you back, don't worry.
Well, I wonder how long that would last, but anyway. And Hope is a confessional Reformed Baptist church adhering to the 1689 London Baptist Confession. And firm believers in homeschooling and classical Christian education. And I just love visiting Hope when I am visiting Long Island. It is my home away from home. And I know far more people there than I do from my own former church on Long Island, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island, America. Because every time I go there, it seems that the people there are new that were not there when, with few exception, are not folks that were there when I was a member. So Hope has definitely become a home away from home for me. If anybody wants more details about Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, if you're visiting that area, if you already live in that area, or if you have family, friends, and loved ones in that area, and you want to refer them to an excellent church, HopeReformedLI.net, HopeReformedLI.net. I have so many cherished, treasured memories of being at that church, and in fact, you weren't there at that time, but you can ask Pastor Rich Jensen about the youth retreats at the Tuscarora Conference Center in Pennsylvania, where they would have me go there for stand-up comedy. And I had some really wonderful memories with Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries there. And I just can't say enough about this church.
Yeah, we hear a lot of things about those youth retreats, and I wish I was there. I heard there was a little High Hope song going on, and eventually, I guess it was prophetic, right? Dr. White came around.
for those of our listeners who have no idea what Anthony's talking about, I did a parody of postmillennialism because Pastor Rich Jensen is a postmillennialist. He's been a postmillennialist as long as I've known him. And I took the Frank Sinatra song, High Hopes, and turned it into a post-millennial song. And James White, I can remember saying, what are you going to do for your little stand-up thing? And I said, well, I'm going to sing a song called High Hopes. He goes, let me do it with you. So we did it together, and the rest remains in infamy. Oh, and then James White, as you were saying, eventually, he was an amillennialist at the time, and now he is post-millennial. So kind of an interesting turn of events.
Amen.
And now tell us about New York Apologetics.
Well, New York Apologetics is an organization that was started by myself and Nick Mitchell, and it spurred out of a debate that I had at Long Island University in Brookville with a professor from Hofstra University, Professor Amy Karofsky.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, you're right. So what had happened was he found out that I was doing the debate, and he wanted to sit with me and, you know, go through some arguments with me. And he really actually helped coach me and you know, got me to because he really is a good atheist when he wants to be. You know, he was really pressing me. So he toughened me up, and the debate went very well. When I look back, I mean, I think she was a weak opponent, but, you know, it went very well. And a lot of the people who are on the kids who are on the campus wanted more of this. So we started visiting them on a regular basis and teaching them, you know, apologetics. And that spurred into a website and a blog. And then a friend of Nick invited him to do a radio show. So him and I would do a Saturday morning radio show for a long time. And lo and behold, we started setting up some conferences here. We had Greg Kokel, Frank Turek, Mary Jo Sharp. And then we even had our own Chris Arnzen come and moderate a debate at Stony Brook University.
Oh, yeah.
Between Dr. Frank Turek and Michael Shermer. And it wasn't Chris's fault, but we got removed from Stony Brook University. We're not invited back there anymore, which is an it wasn't your fault, though.
Actually, knowing Stony Brook University, I would have taken that as a badge of honor if it was my fault. So why don't you spread the rumor that it was my fault? I kind of like that.
Well, the funny thing was, you remember Michael Shermer started pounding his fist on the podium,
right,
saying, "You'll see, you're going to change your views, you're going to hold to homosexual marriage, same sex marriage," and all he did was ask Dr. Turek, "Well, what's your view?" And Dr. Turek simply answered and said, "Oh, my view is the biblical view. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Nothing more than that." Well, the next day, a 4-page scathing letter went to the president of Stony Brook University. How could they possibly let a guy like this on the campus to pro- you know, put forth those views and hurt us emotionally and all this kind of stuff. So it actually started making waves online. AP Press picked it up. Richard Dawkins commented on it. And the funny thing was, this letter actually united a Christian and an atheist. Dr. Turek and Michael Shermer got together and co-wrote a letter to Stony Brook University saying, this is the essence of free speech. We have to be able to vocalize our views with one another. There was no harm done unless you consider ideas harmful.
And that's what colleges were all about for centuries, universities, colleges.
Exactly.
Debate. I mean, even Berkeley, left-wing Berkeley, had George Lincoln Rockwell, the founder of the American Nazi Party, speak there, not because they supported what he believed, but they wanted to see the interaction of ideas, even ones as horrifically evil, where both left and right wing individuals typically are abhorred by the likes of the neo-Nazis. In fact, technically, although most people would deny this, Nazis are left wing, they're not right wing, but they're National Socialists. But, in fact, to even go a step further, the original Nazis, before they became an enormous political machine, the majority of them were homosexuals. But that's another topic for another time. But it's just amazing. It's disgusting. It's ridiculous. I mean, the whole idea of collegiate debate, you know, even liberals used to thrive on seeing things like this, debates between opposing views. And these people aren't liberals, they're leftists.
Yes. I mean, the word university actually means unity of diversity. That's the whole point. We're supposed to be able to go and explore and share our ideas and learn from one another. We don't have to agree, but we certainly can love each other through it and learn from it. And may the best ideas win. So when you shut down one side, it just goes to show you that they feel threatened. And I think they feel threatened because the truth hurts sometimes.
Yes, and I remember very vividly that my my presence there at that debate was almost useless because both Frank Turek and his atheist opponent threw out the rules, and they both preferred just having an argument. So
at the end of it, I was hoping for this nice scholastic debate, and it'll be, you know, real exchange of ideas, and it really turned into like a New York WWF match, and you know, people from the audience were shouting and clapping, and I was like, oh.
And I was trying when I was trying to correct or chastise the atheist Michael Shermer. Frank said, no, Chris, I like it this way better. So I mean, what could I do? I mean, when you have the both sides saying that's what they wanted to do.
Well, Turek's from New Jersey. It's kind of in him. So
but anyway,
your Popeye's done.
Yeah, you know, I have I don't know how many friends that I've known for decades who call me during the show, and it's like they don't know by now my show is 4 to 6 p.m. Some friends never listen to the show. Anyway, if anybody wants more information about New York Apologetics, go to newyorkapologetics.com, newyorkapologetics.com, and we can't forget the Reformed Rookie. Tell us about the Reformed Rookie.
Yes. Reformed Rookie actually got started a little bit before COVID. And obviously during COVID was able to allow me to do more stuff. So I started a website just to teach people, beginners anyway, the basics of Reformed theology. You know, the doctrines of grace, the five solas. We put up articles, blogs, videos, our Wednesday night Bible studies we put up there. So it's just designed to get people introduced to Calvinism and Reformed theology. So I shouldn't say Calvinism that way, because most people think that when you're Reformed, it just means Calvinism. And it goes way, way, way beyond that. You know, it involves a confession of faith. It involves the regulative principle worship. There's so much more to it than just Calvinism. Of course, that's part of it. That drives the theology. But it's just designed to get people to understand what it is, not to be afraid of it, because so many people hear the word Calvinism and they think you're a heretic. And when you just start going through the scriptures and showing people what the Bible actually teaches, and if you could do it in a winsome and gentle and respectful manner, people seem to, you know, take it a little bit better. So most of the people who I interview on the show, I start them off by talking about their testimony into Reformed theology. You know, how did you become Reformed? So that people who don't understand what Reformed theology is can listen to other people who are smart, who are, theologians, explain how they came to an understanding of the doctrines of grace and how it's helped their walk with God and their biblical literacy.
And it's reformedrookie.com?
Yes, reformedrookie.com. And then you can go on YouTube, just type reformedrookie. We just recently got over 2,000 subscribers, so I was very happy about that.
Wow.
The channel's grown. We're getting a lot of views. In fact, Pastor Jensen's teaching on hermeneutics, part one, has over 11,000 views. And part two has over 5,000 views.
Wow.
Yeah, so he did a really good series on hermeneutics. We did a series on the infallibility. The infallibility of the scriptures, which is doing great. One of the teachings that I did on the symbolism of the temple, part one and two, collectively, those got over like 12,000 views. So people are watching it. I mean, it's basically a Reformed Baptist YouTube channel, so I don't think we're going to start seeing millions of views, but you know, whoever it is that comes on gets edified and you know, comments and likes the teaching, so we'll continue to put it up.
Great. That's reformedrookie.com. Moving back, I forgot to mention something very significant.
Mm-hmm.
Moving back to the reformedrookie.com. I mean, not the Reformed Rookie, I just mentioned that. Mm-hmm. Moving back to newyorkapologetics.com.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things that you have done with this ministry was a very bold and courageous move on your part, because you have done something that is nearly unheard of, not only in Reformed Baptist circles, but in Pentecostal circles, where you have you and Nick Mitchell, the co-founders, you are on opposite ends of the cessationist, continuationist debate. You are a Reformed Baptist, as everybody knows by now, and Nick Mitchell is a Pentecostal, and I believe also an Arminian or somewhere in that orbit, and yet you find things that you have in common that you're able to cooperate with one another, and I know that that will upset a multitude of Reformed Baptists and a multitude of Pentecostals and Charismatics. You have been able to pull it off. And tell us about that, your reasons for it, and how it's been going.
Yeah, sure. I think what we need to do as Christians is find common ground and work together on the things that we agree on. If we start focusing on the things that we disagree on, I think that there are no two Christians on the planet that believe exactly the same things. So we start drawing that circle smaller and smaller and smaller. It's just going to be me in a room, you know, broadcasting to nobody because nobody's going to listen to me. Now, obviously, the differences between myself and Nick are deep theological differences. And, you know, he defends his position, I defend mine. But the bottom line is we can love each other as brothers in Christ through it. You know, he's become a really good friend to me and I've become a good friend to him. And we have, you know, we have a ball together. I don't want to say it's similar to James White and Dr. Brown, because we're probably a couple of hundred IQ points lower, but a couple of hundred pounds heavier. You know, I shouldn't say that about Nick. That's mostly about me. But you know, look, I can love somebody who differs with me on certain theological issues. We're not going to co-labor on, you know, if he has a conference on, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, I'm not going to be co-laboring with him on that. It's the same way as if I have a conference on the doctrines of grace, he's not going to be like, yeah, oh, let's go, let's push that. And we have to recognize that we are going to have differences between one another. But if he is born of God's Spirit and I am born of God's Spirit, what unites us is much, much stronger than what divides us.
Yes, now, and you are not compromising at all. You are just, your unity is involved in the areas where you do agree, which are the salvific areas of the Scripture.
Sure. Yeah, like him and I, you know, and we've said it at certain events that we've been at together. You know, he'll say, look, I'm an Arminian and Anthony's a Calvinist. We both believe that we're saved by grace through faith and that not of ourselves. It's just a matter of how we get into Christ that we differ on.
And right? he is not a dangerous heretical word of faith Pentecostal or anything like that.
No, not at all. No, he loves the Lord. He prays, he reads the Scriptures. He keeps me sharp because, you know, I have friends like him and another dear friend of mine who considers himself a provisionist who knows the Scriptures backwards and forwards. And whenever I have talks with both of these guys, they're constantly, you know, pushing against my position and giving the Scriptures that they hold and the way they see them. And it causes me to go back to the Scriptures to look at and examine what they're saying and see how I can either better articulate my position and understand their position better and understand ultimately what God's word is actually saying with regards to these things. So, and the other thing is the people who know us know that we have disagreements, but they see the love and the unity that we have with one another. And I think that goes a long way, especially when you're doing apologetics. And even apologetically, you know, I've come to a presuppositional understanding of apologetics. Nick is evidential. So, you know, I'm able to show people the reason why I hold to presuppositionalism, he holds to evidentialism, and I think that's a consequence of our theology. You know, my theology, Reformed theology, says that, you know, man cannot come to Christ unless the Spirit draws him, and it has to be the work of God first in the person's mind and heart. Whereas on Nick's position as an Arminian, he believes that the evidence is useful and can draw somebody to Christ. And I would agree that God uses the evidence to do that. You know, so the differences are big, but God is bigger than that in the sense that he brings his church together. We have to start working on the unity of the faith and present a united front to the people who are on the outside looking in, saying, you guys can't even get along with yourselves, and now you want me to be a Christian and jump into your church, and now you're going to fight between, you know, who believes in the gifts of the Spirit, who believes in cessationism. Now, I believe those things are very, very important. I really do. And I stand my ground on my position, and he stands his ground. But again, both of us are born-again Christians. So, and God designed it and orchestrated it this way. And until we get to the perfect unity of the faith, we have to work through it.
Amen. And I, for one, think it's refreshing. And as long as I've been hosting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, starting in 2005, I've always publicly, and it's well known, that I take a staunch cessationist position. I've had guests who are extremely critical of Pentecostalism and the charismatic movement, but at the same time, I've also had Pentecostal and charismatic pastors and authors on the show when they are saying something, when they want to say something that is of value, I think, to the body of Christ, when it's something that we can agree upon. In fact, one of my dearest friends who's now in heaven, Al Stein. I don't know if you ever met Al Stein.
I did once at one of Bruce Bennett's conferences.
Yeah, that's right. He spoke at it.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Al Stein was the pastor of Neighborhood Assembly of God in Belmore, Long Island. He was eventually a Assemblies of God bishop. He was an overseer for all the churches on Long Island, all the Assemblies of God congregations on Long Island. And when I first met him, he was a five-point Arminian, but very inquisitive about the Reformed faith. And one of his favorite speakers and authors of all time was none other than John MacArthur very clear in his opposition to the Pentecostal and Charismatic movement. Well, but Al eventually became a full-fledged, thoroughgoing five-point Calvinist, and he was a guest on my show frequently, and even before he was a Calvinist. And he was able to get by the Assemblies of God's scrutiny over the one issue of Calvinism that they vehemently disagreed with, that you could not embrace, is eternal security and remain in the pastorate. And they had a misunderstanding about what that, and maybe still do, about what that means. They take the heretical Charles Stanley understanding of that, that you could live like, you could come to Christ in saving faith, genuinely be saved, and then live like Satan the rest of your life and still go to heaven. Obviously, a non-biblical and non-Calvinist understanding of that. So he, when he had to fill out his form, he said he believed in evidential security. In other words, that if you are truly secure in Christ, your life is going to give evidence of it. And they were fine with that. So he was able to maintain his pastoral post and even became a bishop. And then tragically went home to be with the Lord after an automobile accident a number of years ago. But I'm just all that to say that I'm on the same page with you. And also, of course, you know Jim Capo, former pastor of the Massapequa Church of God, who also became a five-point Calvinist. And was almost a cessationist, but never quite reached that point. And now he is retired and living in Florida. But anyway, I hope you're listening, Jim, because I do truly miss your fellowship, brother. So
I miss him as well. I miss him as well.
Well, we are going to our first break right now. And when we come back, we are going to be addressing the theme that Anthony is going to be also addressing with Nick Mitchell and Tim Fox at the New York Apologetics Conference coming up, but we'll also hear more details about that. The theme, the resurrection, fact, fake, or futile. If you have questions, send them to chrisarnsen@gmail.com. chrisarnsen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Anthony Uvinio right after these messages from our sponsors. Please don't go away. And just a reminder to Anthony Uvinio, please put your mic on mute. During the breaks, and 99% of our guests do not remember to do that. So I just hope that you will do that.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favourite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. 7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And remember, folks, Grace Covenant Baptist Church of Flemington, New Jersey, has a new website. So disregard the website you heard in that ad. The new website is gcbc-nj.org, gcbc-nj.org. And we want to thank Grace Covenant Baptist Church of Flemington, New Jersey, for renewing their advertising contract with Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. Anybody listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio who goes to RoyalDiadem.com and purchases a piece of jewelry valued at $100 or more, or has a custom design piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, like turning your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, your seminary logo, into a piece of jewelry, like a pendant for a necklace or a ring or any other kind of jewelry, anything else that your imagination and creativity can conjure up, they will take what's in your brain and turn it into a mind-blowing, breathtaking, gorgeous piece of physical jewelry. And I've seen what they do firsthand. They are masters at this art. And anybody getting that custom design piece of jewelry, or just purchasing something that they have in stock at royaldiadem.com for $100 or more, 100% of the profits will go to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, as long as you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making your purchase. And please, if you have any interest in purchasing jewelry for yourself or for a loved one, please go to royaldiadem.com as soon as possible to either purchase your piece of jewelry or get the ball rolling on a custom design piece, because we have no idea when royaldiadem.com will pull the plug on this amazing offer where we get 100% of the profits. So please go to royaldiadem.com soon and mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And by the way, I had a wonderful time of over lunch, a wonderful time of fellowship over lunch with the two daughters of the owners of royaldiadem.com. Actually, I'm mixing something up. They're not the owners of the daughters of royaldiadem.com. They're sisters of the individual that just read the ad, the voiceover for royaldiadem.com, Alex Salter. His sisters, when Alex told them, I was in Black Mountain, North Carolina, for the Chief End of Man conference being run by Church and Family Life, they immediately said they wanted to meet me because I've been friends with their parents, Roger and Maureen Salter, for many years. Roger Salter is a frequent guest in this program. He is the pastor of St. Matthew's Anglican Church, a Reformed Anglican congregation in Birmingham, Alabama. And when Helen and Melanie heard that I was in their area in North Carolina, they wanted to take me out to an Indian restaurant because their parents, Roger and Maureen, have told them that I love Indian food. So they took me out to the best Indian restaurant in that area, and I just had a spectacular time with these two wonderful ladies. And I also ask of you to pray for Roger Salter, their father, because he was just rushed to the hospital yesterday. And although I understand he's doing fine now, they are keeping him there for tests, and I don't know the exact details of why he was rushed there, but he has had health problems for years. So please pray for Roger Salter, because although it would be heaven's gain, it would be certainly a tragic loss for us here on the planet Earth to lose a powerful, reformed voice within Anglicanism like Roger Salter is. But also, I just wanted a quick thank Scott Brown and everybody at Church and Family Life for the wonderful time I had at the Chief End of Man Conference. They provided all of the expenses for my travel there and my exhibitors' booth there and my lodging and so on. So I just had a phenomenal time there. They had 16 speakers, including some of my favorite preachers like Dr. Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Jeffrey D. Johnson, Josh Bice, Rob Ventura, and many others. So I know that they will be having the videos and audio available soon. They might already have it available, but go to churchandfamilylife.com to find out more about that. And they've already said that they want to pay for my expenses to return next year for the next conference. So I just want to give my heartfelt thanks to Scott Brown and everyone at Church and Family Life. We are now back with Anthony Uvinio. And if you have any questions on the resurrection, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Before we go into any of the listener questions, Anthony, what was the primary reason that compelled you to address the area of the resurrection? Obviously, it is a pillar teaching of Christianity. The scriptures say that you have no hope of salvation if you deny the bodily resurrection of Christ. And so that is certain. But it is something that has been spoken of and written about numerous times for centuries. Why at this time did you choose this subject?
We were actually discussing several different topics and arguments and things to go over. So we're actually doing this at Tim Fox's his pastor's church, and he asked his pastor, "What do you think we should go over?" And he brought up the resurrection. So we wanted to accommodate him, and obviously there's a ton of stuff that we can do. We have three different presentations that we're going to do on it. In fact, this is Doug Jansen, who is Pete Jansen's son, who we prayed for. We had so many churches praying for him during COVID. He got COVID bad, and I think when they put the tube down his throat, they punctured his lung. So we had so many churches praying for him, and thankfully he recovered. He's back up on his feet, and they purchased some new land in Hophog, and that's where we're going to be doing the conference. It's at 328 Hoffman Lane in Hophog, New York. It's going to go from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We're going to do three presentations and Q&A, and it was really at his suggestion. There's so many different areas in apologetics that we could tackle, so he seemed to want us to do this. So each one of us, Tim Fox, myself, and Nick, are going to hit it from a little bit different angles. Now, just to let you know about Tim Fox, his dad was a Church of God pastor. That's how I got introduced to him, because Nick is a Church of God pastor, and him and Tim Fox's dad knew each other. And Tim went to Biola out in California, and he was looking to do something here in New York. So as we started to grow as New York Apologetics, we had him come on board and teach some, present at some of the conferences that we did. And we did a monthly event at a church in Bohemia where he would help lead and do presentations. And he's just a really good guy, good apologist. I'm glad to have him, you know, on the New York Apologetics team. So he's going to be doing the resurrection of Jesus, good news or fake news. So he's couching it to garner a little bit of attention. So looking forward to hearing that talk. I'm going to do the resurrection, why it's a fact. I mean, why we can absolutely rely on the resurrection as a historical fact of history. And then Nick is going to hit it from the angle of, okay, so there was a resurrection. Why does it matter? What is the consequence of the resurrection as far as our faith goes? So hitting it from three little bit different angles, and hopefully going to make an impact in people's minds and hearts to show them that the resurrection is pivotal for us as Christians.
And I believe we may have even forgotten to announce the dates of this. What are the dates?
Yes, Saturday, June 3rd. From 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. The cost is free. I did put in a text to see if it's going to be live streamed. I'm not sure if it is, but the venue can hold, 100 or 200 people. So if you want, please come out. We'd love to see you guys. So many people do come to the presentations. They're always blessed by them because there's always something that you can learn. And it's just good to have interaction with other believers from other churches so that we, every week from the pulpit, I tell our congregation that Long Island is Christ Island, because it is. He owns every inch of it. And it's not just Long Island, but the entire world. But for our intent and purposes, it's our goal to turn Long Island right side up for the Lord. So if we bloom where we're planted and we turn this island right side up, you don't know, how that's going to affect New York City. Hopefully it affects the city and then the rest of the country. So I'm optimistic. If we have a lot of horsepower on Long Island, we have a lot of strong men of God. If we can put our heads together and just continue to be faithful and edify the saints, the sheep that God's placed in front of us, God will do the work. He'll bring revival. Once we start seeing the true gospel preached and people coming to a real understanding of their sinfulness before God, God's spirit will move on them and bring them to a humble position so that sin becomes the issue again. Now it's, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, not your life for God's wonderful plan. So I think a lot of churches are still centered on comfort and even entertainment, dare I say. So we need to bring back why the gospel is important and what the gospel addresses. The gospel addresses sin, not your comfort. In fact, when it comes to your comfort, Jesus says, deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me.
Amen. And I'm going to read a question from our first questioner in the audience today, and I'll have you answer it when we return from the midway break, because I don't want to cut you off in the middle of your your answer. It happens to be a mutual friend of ours, Pastor Jason Contino. He is the pastor of Harborview Christian Church in Port Jefferson, Long Island, New York. And I have just grown to love him and his wife, and have been so blessed by their friendship. Pastor Jason asks, could you ask Pastor Anthony if they have an open or closed communion at Hope Reformed Baptist Church? Would you allow a known full preterist to take communion? That's an interesting question, even though it has nothing to do with the subject. Well, actually, I guess it would, because the resurrection is involved, and full preterists don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Christians in the future, or of anyone. Both the dead in Christ and those that are true believers will be raised, and that is an area that does reflect some of the aberrant teachings of full preterism. But we'll have you answer that question when we come back. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Anthony Uvinio right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God.
I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd. The G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, please make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. Visit solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They bring back into print and also publish for the very first time nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's solid-ground-books.com. Purchase today. Mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Anthony Uvinio in our discussion on the resurrection, just have some important announcements to make. Please, folks, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, like the church where my guest today is one of the pastors, Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, they advertise with us. If you would like to advertise your church or your business or your private practice, like a law firm or a medical firm, any kind of a ministry, a special event that you're having, as long as whatever it is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Remember, folks, I never want anybody who listens to Iron Sharpens Zion Radio to give your own church where you are a member less money than you are typically accustomed to giving your church on the Lord's Day in order to give Iron Sharpens Zion Radio a gift financially. Please don't ever do that. Also, if you are personally struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you are more financially stable and back on your feet before you send us a financial gift. The two things that are clear in the Bible about finances is that we are commanded to provide for our churches and provide for our families. Providing for this radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes. You have extra money collecting interest in the bank. And you love the show, and you don't want it to disappear. Please share some of that money with us if you really care about this show existing. Go to IronTripAndZionRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically sound churches, and I've helped many people in our audience in all parts of the planet Earth find churches, sometimes within just a few minutes from where they live. So if you are in that predicament, you don't have a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound church near you that you're aware of, please let me know. Send an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I may be able to help you. That's also the email address to ask a question of Anthony Uvinio. chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. As you likely remember, Anthony, before the break, we received a question from Pastor Jason Contino of Harborview Christian Church, and he asked if you have open or closed communion at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, and would you allow a known full preterist to take communion? And the reason why this has some connection with our discussion is that full preterists, among other things, deny a future resurrection of the saved and the damned, a future bodily resurrection. So there is a connection with our discussion on the resurrection. So what is your answer to that?
Okay, so the answer to the first question is we have a closed communion. In other words, we guard the table of the Lord, the body and blood of our Savior, the bread and the wine, and we warn people that if they eat the bread and drink the cup in an unworthy manner, you're drinking judgment upon yourself. In fact, Paul goes on to say that this is why many of you are weak and ill, and even some have died. So that's a pretty serious warning. So we make sure that the members of our congregation are not harboring any unrepentant sin or unconfessed sin. We encourage that the goal is not to keep them from the table, but to bring them to the table. But you have to come to God on His terms. So we encourage repentance, confession of sin, and then to partake of the elements. For those people who are not members of our church, we tell them that the table is for believers only. Obviously, we can't police every single person, so we have to leave it up to them whether they want to take communion or not. Again, we make sure that they need to be believers in Jesus Christ first, repentant of their sin and holding to faith alone.
And by the way, I just wanted to insert real quickly, there are many who define closed communion differently than you. They will not allow anyone who's not a member of their own congregation to have the Lord's Supper. So I'm assuming from what you said, that's not what you mean by that.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I probably would hold a little bit different definition. I could be wrong, but that's what I was thinking in my head as far as closed.
Okay. And I'm assuming you also would insist upon somebody being a member in good standing of a church, a good biblically faithful church.
Right. If a visitor comes in and they're sitting in the pew and we serve communion, we don't do interviews before we, before we hand it out. So, but we do guard the table. We do issue the warnings and make sure that everybody understands that you could be eating and drinking judgment upon yourself. I mean, and the penalty, some have died. So, I mean, this is not frivolous. This is serious as far as the communion table goes. So that would be my understanding of closed communion. As far as the second question goes, would we allow a full or hyper preterist to take communion? Well, the answer would be no, because right in 1 Corinthians 11, part of the communion passage is, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Now, a hyper or full preterist believes that Jesus has come already. Everything, all prophecy, every biblical prophecy has been fulfilled and completed by 70 AD, according to hyperpreterists. So to allow somebody who we know is a hyperpreterist to take communion when they believe that Jesus came to earth physically in 70 AD, or just came to earth and is not returning physically after that, would be wrong. So we would pull that person aside and explain to them that, look, you do not hold what we hold to here. So in that sense, the communion would be closed to them. They could stay for the service. They could listen to the preaching of the word. But to celebrate as a church family, when we are completely doctrinally at different ends of the spectrum on this, is serious enough to withhold communion from them. When you understand what full preterism actually is, I mean, you have to deny 30 closely held Christian beliefs in order to be a full preterist. You have to believe that Jesus came back already and is not coming back again. You have to believe that there is no bodily resurrection of the righteous and the unrighteous. You have to believe that Jesus was not bodily resurrected from the dead. You have to believe that Satan and the fallen angels were cast into hell and have absolutely no influence on the earth today. You'd have to believe that every single person has been judged. Everyone has stood before the judgment seat of Christ and been judged already. You'd have to believe in, you can't believe in progressive sanctification. It has to be immediate sanctification of believers. And the list goes on and on and on and on. The presence of the Holy Spirit is not in the world today. The church has reached full unity. The curse on the earth is going to stand forever and ever. Sin is going to continue on forever and ever. So those are all antithetical to what the scriptures teach with regards to Jesus's bodily resurrection and our bodily resurrection. In fact, most of the prominent full or hyper preterists believe that Jesus's body, as he ascended into heaven, dissolved. He's not seated in heaven in a physical body right now.
Now, do they believe, you mentioned before, they deny the bodily resurrection of Christ. I've heard from, in fact, every hyper-preterist I know or have spoken with has said that they do believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ. They just don't believe in the future bodily resurrection of the elect and the reprobate.
You're right. Some of them don't believe that. It's Jesus's. It was Jesus. It's the same body. Some of them do, okay. Others don't believe that it's the same body. It's not. It's not a physical body. It's a spiritual body, and they don't mean spiritual body the way Paul means spiritual body in 1 Corinthians 15. So, others do believe that he was raised physically, but as he ascended into heaven again, his body dissolved. And he is in heaven in spirit, not in a physical body. Now, why that is serious is because Psalm 16 says, and Peter quotes on the day of Pentecost, David saying that he will not let his Holy One see decay. Right? So if Jesus doesn't have a physical body anymore, what is death in a Hebrew understanding of death? Death is separation from the body. So in essence, Jesus died twice. So he's not the God-man right now. He's the spiritual mediator, but not truly God, truly man right now. So those are some very serious things to deny, to deny that we will be bodily resurrected and the curse on the earth will never be dealt with, is a denial of the finished work of Jesus Christ. You know, the curse on the earth remains, where Jesus says the meek will inherit the earth. We're going to have a transformed, a new heavens and a new earth, okay, in which the city of heaven is going to come down as it is now, and the dwelling of God is going to be with mankind. So there's not going to be any more future sin like that when Jesus is back finally.
Yeah, they're not a monolithic group. They have infighting just like many other groups do. Some are even universalists. Some no longer participate in baptism in the Lord's Supper, but some do. Don Preston is one of the most famous of them all, and he does continue to practice baptism in the Lord's Supper.
He believes in the dissolving of Jesus' body as he ascended into heaven.
Yes. And
I did, just to let you know, I did a three-part series where I articulated a little bit better than what I just did now. If you go to the Reform Rookie YouTube channel, there's a playlist called Eschatology. You'll see a three-part series on full or hyperpreterism.
So you'll hear Anthony explain this when he hasn't been drinking. Okay.
We serve real wine for communion, so yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming you're using one of those little shot glasses and not you're drinking right out of the jug.
Well, we're petitioning for bigger glasses, but we'll stay with the little ones for now.
And it's good to know that it's still purple liquid in those shot glasses and not brown. So,
yes.
Anyway,
yes.
And now our friend Jason Contino has another question.
Sure.
And we'll let him slide since he's such a wonderful brother in Christ. How do we address the swoon theory and witnessing to Muslims? The theory, as I remember it years ago, it wasn't just Muslims teaching this, but liberals as well, that Jesus Christ, those liberals that actually believe that Jesus existed as a human, that Jesus Christ went into some kind of a coma temporarily. He didn't die on Calvary. But if you could let our listeners know about that and witnessing to Muslims specifically, who most of them, it's amazing how the most conservative of Muslims will borrow from leftist apostate Christians for their apologetics, but they would never allow us to get away with doing the same with Muslims. Like we see liberal Muslims all the time on TV, you know, some of these feminists in Congress and so on. But if you could.
Sure. So swoon theory basically states that when Jesus came down from the cross, he was really in a deep comatose state. He was still alive. So when they buried him, he was buried alive and he was revived in the tomb and then came out after he basically not resurrected, but was resuscitated. So the first thing I would speak to a Muslim on this would be, okay, what is your evidence for that? Where do you find historical evidence that Jesus was in this comatose state and didn't really die? Because it doesn't appear in the scriptures. In fact, the scriptures speak of the exact opposite of that. I mean, Jesus himself said that, you know, destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up again. So, he spoke about the sign of Jonah, 3 days and three nights. Just like Jonah, the Son of Man will be in the earth 3 days and three nights and come back to life again. So, and Jesus himself is the one, and according to them, he's Esau. You know, he's a prophet of the highest order. That would make Esau a liar. That would make Jesus a liar. So I would go on the offensive first and ask questions. Where did you come up with this? and then seek to refute those things, and then just explain to them through the scriptures and the nature of Jesus's injuries. If there's one thing that the Romans were good at, it was crucifying people. Like in the revolt of slaves, they crucified 6,000 men. Not a one of them lived. So now here along comes Jesus, who is guilty, according to them, of the crime of sedition. He claimed to be Lord when there's only one Lord. Caesar was Lord. Certainly the Romans are not going to allow him to come down off the cross and live again. The soldiers were convinced that Jesus was dead because they didn't break his leg. Usually to speed up, crucifixion was really death by suffocation. Your lungs would fill up with water and you'd push up on your legs to get a breath of air. In order to speed up the death process, the Roman soldier would break the leg of the person being crucified. Jesus, they didn't have to break his leg. In fact, the soldier put a sword in his side and blood and water came out, which was an indication that he was dead. So, you know, there's so many different problems with the swoon theory. Okay, let's say that Jesus really didn't die and was put into the tomb. Now you have the problem of the rock. Who moved the rock? You know, there was two Roman soldiers guarding the tomb. Did Jesus push the rock away by himself and escape the Roman soldiers? The Roman soldiers were guarding his tomb under the penalty of death. If he got out, they would be put to death. So it wasn't like these guys allowed this to happen. This was a supernatural event that was prophesied, you know, in the Old Testament, was talked about and heralded in the New Testament. All of the early believers and followers of Jesus who met the risen Lord, this didn't cause them to cower and run away. This emboldened them. This is what fueled the movement known as Christianity. If Christ was found dead, Christianity would be found dead. And we see nothing of the sort. In fact, these men, the apostles, the early disciples and followers of Jesus, the Christians, were willing to die because they knew that Jesus rose from the dead. They met the risen Lord, 500 people. It was 514 witnesses of the resurrection. And really, all you had to do was interview any of them. And if one of them would have said, no, I didn't see the risen, Jesus really didn't rise again, the resurrection would be falsifiable. But not one did. They were all willing to go to their death, willing to die for Jesus. And no one willingly dies for a lie knowing that it's a lie, right?
Right.
So if they knew that Jesus was somebody stole the body or he's hiding out somewhere, one of them would have at least confessed, no, don't kill me. I know where Jesus is. Or I know, you know, this disciple and this apostle, you know, they stole the body and, you know, they're hiding him right now.
Right. In fact, there is I don't know if you've seen it. There is a hilarious video of that is mocking the idea that the disciples made up this story of the death and resurrection of Jesus, where they're all plotting to remove the body from the tomb, and and the leader of this, I believe it was Peter, who is leading the discussion and the plot, says, "Then we're all going to certainly be put to death." You know, and they're like, "What? Excuse me? Wait a minute? What? I mean." Because there was no benefit to making up a lie that they knew to be a lie, to just lead to their own torment and execution. So, but anyway,
yeah, it was if they did it to exalt themselves, boy, did they get a surprise. I mean, their benefits package was persecution, beatings, death. Some were Peter, you know, tradition has it he was crucified upside down. They didn't do this for their own glory. They recognized that Jesus did rise from the dead. He appeared to them. Thomas, you know, he tells Thomas, put your hand in my side. You know, it's me. So again, all of them were willing to go to their death knowing that Jesus rose from the dead. If he didn't, this is the greatest hoax that humanity has ever known. And this will also be part of Nick's talk on why it matters. Because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, even Paul says, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you're still in your sins, okay, and of most of all people to be pitied. So again, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, we don't have an atonement for our sins. We're making God out to be a liar. We're misrepresenting God, and we're to be pitied because we're following something that's completely untrue.
And by the way, Pastor Jason, I don't know if you're aware of this, but that is actually the swoon theory is a very tiny minority view from what I understand amongst Muslims. Most Muslims believe Judas was nailed to the cross, that Jesus was not nailed to the cross. It was Judas. Not that the Romans knowingly nailed Judas to the cross, but it was a mistaken identity kind of a situation. But I know that Shabir Ali, or at least I'm nearly positive, Shabir Ali, who is one of the most well-known Muslim apologists, does believe in the swoon theory. Thank you. And by the way, I want to give a plug to Harborview Christian Church, where our listener Jason Contino is the pastor. Their website is harborviewchristian.church. harborviewchristian.church. And I urge anybody living in or near Port Jefferson, Long Island, to visit and even join that congregation. We have a listener from St. Kitts in the West Indies.
We're going to have to go there and answer this one personally.
We have Gregory in St. Kitts who says, I heard someone say that they believe that someone got into the tomb by some secret way and stole the body. How do you deal with that? I'm assuming he means other than rolling the stone away. I've never heard that.
Right.
I've never heard that one. Somebody tunneling through the rock to get in.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure why that would be necessary, since the stone was rolled away. So I'm not sure why.
So again, the question becomes: okay, what is your basis for making that statement? What is your evidence? What is your foundation for believing that? Obviously, if the scriptures are the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, they're God breathed. Okay, so again, this is you know, like a very strong sticking point for us as believers. Because we all believe, you know, every apologist recites 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and respect. But the first half of that verse is set apart Christ as Lord. So if Jesus is Lord and Jesus held that the scriptures were true and the scriptures are God-breathed, infallible, self-attesting, and historically sound, why would I believe anything outside of the scriptures that contradict the scriptures? So I have a basis by which I can point to and be certain about it, because the scriptures are God-breathed. They're given to us by an omniscient God. Omniscience means that God knows everything. So if I have a God who knows everything and tells me something, I can be sure without a shadow of a doubt that it's true. So now this man comes along and says, well, how do you know somebody didn't sneak into the tomb, pull Jesus out, and did something else with him? Well, you can make up all different kinds of stories. How do you know it wasn't aliens? How do you know, it wasn't Mary who was buried with him and she rolled the stone away? You can come up with a gajillion different options and not have to give a foundation for it. I mean, we have more physical, historical evidence and scriptural evidence for the resurrection than any other theory that's out there. Plus, our scriptures are God-breathed. This is the word of God. So if you set Christ apart as Lord of your heart, and Jesus used the scriptures to combat the devil, Jesus said, thy word is true. Sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. If Jesus held that the scriptures were true, why would I think differently?
Well, thanks a lot, Gregory and St. Kitts. Please continue to spread the word about Iron Sharpens Zion Radio in the West Indies and beyond. We have a listener, Anthony, in Hoshton, Georgia. And since Anthony has never corrected my pronunciation of that, I'm assuming that I'm pronouncing it correctly. He says, Pastor Uvenia, when discussing the resurrection of Christ, do you find it enough to establish the scriptural and historical fact of it as spoken in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, according to the scriptures, or have you found that setting in the context of redemptive history as Jesus is Lord and King, speaking through his word as in Hebrews 12, verses 22 through 29, i.e., he rose from the dead to rule and reign from heaven, where it speaks of him speaking to us after his ascension as king over the gospel of the kingdom spreading worldwide? Does expanding the dialogue to the kingdom, does expanding the dialogue to the gospel of the kingdom open up our evangelistic and apologetic opportunities? And I'm going to be honest here. I don't really understand Anthony's question. Maybe you do.
Well, I think the scriptural basis in 1 Corinthians 15 is more than enough to explain to an unbeliever that the early Christians believed that Jesus rose from the dead. If this is truly God's word and God's word can't be wrong, well, then this is a historical fact. In fact, Paul says, again, if the resurrection hasn't happened, you're still in your sins and your faith is futile, right? So the question is, how could Christianity explode in expansion in Jerusalem, in the very city that Jesus supposedly rose from the dead from, if he really didn't rise from the dead? Why would these men willingly go to their deaths believing and professing the resurrection of Jesus if it didn't happen? On top of the fact that you have the witness of Jesus several times saying that, you know, destroy this body, in 3 days I'm going to raise it up again. You have the New Testament witness about the Sadducees who didn't believe in the resurrection. And Paul said there is a resurrection. Daniel talks about the resurrection of the just and the unjust. The resurrection is part and parcel of the new creation and the reason that Christ was crucified on the cross. If Christ was crucified on the cross and there was no resurrection, well, then Jesus didn't accomplish what he set out to do. Now, yes, we can go into the scriptures and say that Jesus is ruling and reigning right now, seated at the right hand of God the Father, and his kingdom has been established on earth already, which is a big sticking point even within Christians, because you have Christians waiting for Jesus to come back to set up his kingdom on earth, where postmillennialists and amillennialists believe that Jesus established and set up his kingdom when he first came, and he's ruling and reigning until when? Until he makes his enemies a footstool for his feet. So yes, I would definitely say Jesus is king. He's Lord. You will have to stand before him one day and give an account of your life and what you've done. Now, you can either stand before him as your judge, or you can stand before him as his son. You need to repent, trust in the Jesus of the scriptures, be reconciled to God. You need to come to God on his terms, and that's through Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, I think all roads lead to heaven. And I say, well, I disagree with you, but even if they do, you're going to stand before God either as judge or his son. Which would you rather?
In fact, I heard an excellent, and I'm not sure, yeah. I'm not sure if my friend Don Holder invented this. I don't think it was original to him, but when I was in when I was in a Christian alcohol rehab facility over a decade ago, Don Holder, who was the director of Hebron Colony Ministries in Boone, North Carolina, during a sermon, he said, there are many people who say all roads lead to God. And he said, I say I agree with that, but only one of those roads leads to God and salvation. All the others lead to him in judgment.
Amen.
So,
yeah.
So anyway, because we're all going to be facing God, no matter what road we're taking. And obviously, we only want to be on that one road that is the road to eternal life. But I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's quite all right. Listen, I tell people every sin in this world must be paid for. It will either be paid for by you or paid for by Jesus. Which would you rather?
I was just going to say, Anthony has a second part to his question.
Mm-hmm.
I am sure it might vary depending on who is listening to you, but have you found it better to offer more of a biblical worldview that comes into play because of the resurrection? And then he closes with, I have enlarged the font of my email due to the host's older eyesight. He's talking about me. And I thank him for that. I wish everybody would do that.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, we have to use a biblical worldview for everything. But I think what he's explaining is, okay, now that Jesus rose from the dead, what are the ramifications for that? The ramifications for that is that Jesus is ruling and reigning right now. Now the kingdom. Now you see the effect that Jesus' resurrection had on the entire world, right? So his resurrection fueled the movement known as Christianity in the Roman Empire, where Jesus was killed. Let's say he didn't rise from the dead, and he's still in the tomb. Well, why would this movement called Christianity explode so quickly and grow so quickly? It wouldn't if Jesus was still found in the tomb, right? And that's one of the big things that we have. We have an empty tomb. And you have atheists like John Dominic Crossan and Bart Ehrman and Gerd Ludemann all saying that the death and the death of Jesus is a historical fact, and the empty tomb is a historical fact. One of the ways that we study history, one of the things we use is called embarrassing testimony or enemy attestation. When your enemies are admitting that the tomb is empty and agreeing with you, well, that's something that you want to highlight, because that means it's probably true. If we came back and said the tomb was empty, and the Jews who wanted Jesus dead are saying, yes, the tomb is empty because the disciples stole the body. They're making an excuse for the empty tomb. So the empty tomb becomes a catalyst and something that we could stand upon to say, yes, the tomb was empty. The question is why? Now, we have the scriptures that support why the tomb was empty. We have Jesus' own words. We have the disciples' boldness. We have the conversion of Paul, which is, again, a big factor. Here's Paul persecuting Christians, who now meets the risen Savior on the road to Damascus. He has a conversion experience, and he goes from persecuting Christians to now teaching them and edifying them and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's conversion from a Pharisee to a Christian is a decidedly big mark for the Christian movement, because what would convince a man like Paul that Christianity was true after he was persecuting Christians as many as he did? He something big had to happen to him.
Okay, we go to our final break right now, and when we come back, we will begin with a question from Cindy in Findlay, Ohio. If you want to join Cindy, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God.
I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd. The G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnson's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Welcome back. We have Cindy in Findlay, Ohio, who asks, "Good evening, Chris and Anthony. I apologize, I've missed most of the show, so this may have been covered. I would like to know your thoughts on cold case Christianity." Well, before Anthony answers, I'd just like to let you know that cold case Christianity is a form of Christianity adopted by the Presbyterians and Lutherans. Whenever you open up their refrigerators, you could always find a cold case. But anyway, no, she is referring to the video series by homicide detective J. Warner Wallace, a detective that handled old murder cases. And I think you had him speak at one of your events, didn't you?
Yeah, actually, he was scheduled to speak at one of our events, the Dare to Defend conference. And what happened was his daughter, who's a Marine, she hurt her ankle or something, and her graduation date got postponed. And it just happened to be the date of our conference. So he called and he says, "Well, I got a conflict. My daughter's graduating the Marines that day." I said, "Well, I hope she's going to be okay with you if you don't show up." So, you know, he laughed. Jay Warner Wallace is one of the most genuinely nice Christian apologists I know. He's so eager to help, eager to sow into people, eager to help them along in their faith. He's an evidentialist, and he does a tremendous job laying out the case evidentially for the resurrection, for the chain of custody of the New Testament. He's a phenomenal guy. I would just differ with him slightly, obviously, being that I'm a presuppositional apologist. But the stuff that I've watched that he's done, in fact, the new series that he came out with called Person of Interest is absolutely phenomenal. The stuff that he uncovers and presents to people is just excellent. I highly recommend him. Again, he's an evidentialist, and as a presuppositionalist, we can use evidence for sure. I would just say that, you know, we stand on the Word of God. If the Word of God says something, then it's true.
Well, we're out of time, and Anthony, I'd like you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners before we go off the air.
Sure. I want them to understand that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a bona fide fact. It's biblically supported. It's evidentially supported. It's supported historically. So I would encourage you, if you want more information on this, to come out to the conference. We're going to have three good, excellent sessions with Q&A to follow. Again, the date for that is Saturday, June 3rd from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. free. There's no cost. The location is 321 Hoffman Avenue in Hopog, New York. It's Living Word Church. The tagline for the resurrection conference is called Fact, Fake, or Futile. So we're going to be presenting presentations along those lines. And again, if there was no resurrection, there'd be no Christianity, and we would still be in our sins. So this is crucial to Christianity and our atonement.
Amen. And let me repeat the websites of everything connected with Anthony Uvinia. We have Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, where he is one of three pastors. HopeReformedLI.net, HopeReformedLI.net. We have the ReformedRookie.com, where our guest Anthony Uvinia is the host of that website. ReformedRookie.com, ReformedRookie.com. And last but not least, New York Apologetics, the ministry hosting this conference that we have been addressing. NewYorkApologetics.com, NewYorkApologetics.com. I want to remind our listeners that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio was hit very hard by the coronavirus pandemic hysteria, where governments, both federal and local, imposed unconstitutional and anti-biblical restrictions upon people, shutting businesses down. Sometimes family-owned businesses that were open for centuries were closed down. People in our audience, no doubt, were hurt immeasurably financially by this hysteria, and that has hurt us. We have never, ever bounced back from the plummeting of the giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio ever since COVID broke out. So we're asking you, please, If you really love the show and you don't want it to disappear, go to ironsharpenzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and help us survive into the future so that we can have more guests like Anthony Uvino on the air. I want to thank everybody who listened. I want to thank especially those who took the time to send in questions. Of course, I want to thank my guest, Anthony Uvino. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow when another Long Islander, or at least a native Long Islander, Kevin Vigneault, pastor of Community Connections at Lakewood Baptist Church of Pewaukee, Wisconsin, will be our guest tomorrow to address Foundations for Evangelism. It's sure to be a great interview. God bless you all.